Heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Wednesday in the Alabama State House. Once again, it is Wednesday. We do this every Wednesday during session. It's proved to be a pretty decent radio, but always glad. Thanks again to House Majority Leader Scott Stathagen for making this happen. Still come on the program about a half hour from now, State Representative Danny Garrett. He is the chairman of the House Education Budget Committee. And Becky Garrettson from Eagle Forum to wrap it up in the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, Claiborne County in the House. Like I said, State Representative Chad Robertson joining us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing fine today.
Well, hey, thanks for coming on. This is the first time you've been on with us, but we do appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about the district. You got Calhoun, parts of Calhoun County, and you got Claiborne County. Most of us would know it. It's that last county before you hit Georgia on I-20, but you got that whole Oxford, parts of that where it's really grown up. We always... And I'll probably be up that way this weekend for Talladega. I'll always stay right there at that Oxford exit there. But that's changed over the last 20 years. One of those exits wasn't even there, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's a whole different
place. And Calhoun County kind of started growing different when they shut down the fort, McClellan.
Yeah, right.
And so everything kind of gravitated towards I-20. It boomed in the last, 10, 15 years.
Just kind of watching it, because we always like drive through there, and Anniston's Anniston, but I mean Oxford's still a totally different place.
Yeah, well, it is, and they keep that identity, and they hold it close, but at the same time it's still all Calhoun County too. So
Quinn's Hard Mall, not what it used to be though.
Well, now they've made some expansions on it.
Really?
Too. Yeah, in the last year they've the city there's a company come in and they let them take it over, and they tore down half of it, and now they rebuilt that into some other plazas that they can use. So it's more kind of like the exchange area now,
right,
over there on the backside too. So.
Well, it's just really changed. But the rest of the district, we drive down to Mount Cheeha, and
it does.
You get on the little parkway there to get to it. And then every now and then, probably about two or three times a year, go down 431 down that way for whatever reason. We used to live in Tallahassee, and driving sometimes from Huntsville, we'd go down 431 and go through Claiborne and then Randolph County and then down and hit down through Lee and into Columbus, Georgia. But how are things going?
Oh, great. Like I said, that area is growing, like you said. We're being kind of encroached on by Georgia. I see that. I play music on the weekends and stuff, and I talk to people, politicians, so I talk, and I just information, hey, where are you from, that kind of thing. And a lot of them are gravitating from Douglasville, Georgia, things like that. They're trying to get away
from Atlanta,
right? And yeah. So they're hitting Claiborne County pretty hard, coming into Oxford, going towards Randolph County on the Lake Widawi side too. So it's just slowly, gravitating. They're seeing that they're seeing our way of life and our politics here, and they identify with that. And
right. It's funny how much Atlanta seems like a whole universe away, but it's right there at the doorstep.
I can be there in 55 minutes, probably,
really?
To an hour. I think Birmingham's maybe a little bit further, than maybe 65 minutes for me. So, but I try to avoid Atlanta if at all possible.
That's probably smart.
Because
it's not the Atlanta that we grew up with.
It's not. I own a gym, and I sometimes I'll go buy gym equipment. And the last time I did, most of the time they'll deliver it, but I thought I'd save a little money, and I got a trailer and hiked it over there to North Atlanta, and then coming back, just six lanes of traffic. blocked up, and I've got a trailer on the back. I'm not a good, you know, I'm not great truck driver at any, you know, in any means. So I divert to try to get around, and it takes me through the middle of Atlanta at that point. And I've got a 16-foot trailer behind me, and I'm nervous. And it's grown. It's massively.
I mean, like, how far away? I mean, how like getting someday that your house district would be like a bedroom community of Atlanta. Like people, I'm sure a lot of people that live there probably go to work, at least in the suburbs on the west side.
Yeah. Well, and that's one reason I got into politics. I was director of the chamber in Cleburne County, and seeing all this encroachment on us, I knew, I mean, whether we do anything or not, it's coming because Atlanta's still growing. That the people who are trying to get away are moving towards us. For whatever reason, our area, and I believe all Alabama is like this, that we are in a situation in the point in time that we can control how we can grow. I think everybody wants to come here, and I think we're at a position that we can be picky on who we let in and how we want to grow and still keep our identity as a conservative state.
I mean, in some ways you could sell values. It that way, right? You get the benefit of kind of being in the Atlanta orbit, but without all the weird Georgia, Atlanta type problems, right?
Exactly.
You're close enough to the airport, and it goes everywhere on Delta, and you know that you can kind of sell yourself as an Atlanta adjacent, I guess.
Right, yeah, a suburb, yeah, I guess. But saying that, you can, like I said, I want to, you know, keep the identity of us and our values. And I think in the bigger cities, you lose that a little bit in the distortion of the mix.
So, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Well, other than that, this legislative session, let's talk about that. And I've been talking to all these members throughout the last few weeks. With the exception of the holding pattern with gambling that first 2 weeks, very productive session. Like, usually you see bills that have passed early in the session that would usually have to wait till the BIR was out of the way. And here we are with what, just a handful of days left?
I think 8 days. Today, I think. And so, it's moving fast. Once it started moving, it started moving. And I think our speaker and our leadership we owe that to them.
It feels to me like this is the Nathaniel Ledbetter era now. You know, last year was kind of get to know you, and then, you know, Mac McCutcheon obviously before that, but this is, some of it's been really good, some of it hasn't been so pretty, but it is clearly distinct.
Right. Well, and I had no experience under McCutcheon. Met him a few times, but seemed like a great guy. But I've never haven't been under his leadership, right. And so I have nothing to compare it to. But I feel like things are ran a lot smoother with the speaker.
Because McCutcheon, he tried to make everybody happy. And keep in mind, coming out of like Mike Hubbard, there was a lot of just sort of full court press, and we know how that saga ended, and then you needed kind of a change of pace. This is a problem that change of pace, you know, things didn't start on time, and it wasn't ran orderly. At times, Democrats would filibuster when they should have been gaveled down. The Ledbetter seems to be much better organized and much more ready for battle.
I agree, and that structure. If you know, it goes back to, you know, raising kids. The kids do better with structure, and I think we operate better with that structure if we know the boundaries.
Well, there's a lot of structure.
Yeah, if you know the boundaries that you can work around, that it makes it more fluid. And I think, and I think everybody congruent can get together, and you may not. We don't all agree at any time, you know, but we're civil enough to where we can move along and get the work done. Love this quote. I'm stealing it, but it's optimal is the enemy of the possible. And I use that a lot, especially in this realm. If you want to get something done, you know, there's you have to negotiate some on some things, and some things don't, you know, you don't have to, but if sometimes it's better to kind of go and get it done first, and then if you have to go back and make an adjustment, then that can be done too. So.
Joined by State Representative Chad Robertson here on the program. He's a East Alabama lawmaker. Well, here's a question for you. And you're in a unique position, being where you are. How much do you hear this whole lottery discussion? And your residents are just right there. They can just, you know, 20 minutes or so at the most and go buy tickets. I mean, is it... Do you hear, like a lot of these other members here from their constituents, that, hey, I just want the right to vote or whatever? Or does it just having grown up with it and having it kind of right there?
It's easy accessible, like you said, for us. And if you go across the line, you see a tremendous amount of Alabama tags at the lottery.
The Georgia tags and the firework stands and right, all the Alabama tags.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, our area, I got way more calls about, you know, vote yes, let us vote on this, than I did about don't, you know, vote no, stop it now. I could probably count, you know, 20 for the no's and emails that I got, and then I would say close to 100, to maybe a little bit more. My constituent, you know, that I'm working with down here, that seems like it was the opposite that they were getting. So you got to represent your region. And
we're gambling, and I know you've probably heard every single angle on this, but the lottery is what we're talking about, but it's everything else that would come with it that people are a little apprehensive.
Well, in my mind, lottery to me is more of a sin tax, if you say, or a low income tax, because those are the easy fruit. I mean, you're gonna go and you're gonna spend a dollar. You might, you know, be filling up gas. You're not creating any revenue for the state. You're just trading money around, really.
Right.
Whereas what I look at as the casinos, and that it's a tourist attraction. Las Vegas is not making money off of gambling anymore. They've realized that you get these families in here, you get these hotels. It's a theme park, and I think that's the kind of revenue I want to see coming into Alabama, not necessarily on the lottery. I think both probably have to happen to get one or the other.
Let me ask you this then. I know this is all hypothetical. Would you want a casino anywhere in your district?
I wouldn't mind it personally.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities. I have money right there. Get into Alabama, but a lot of people, particularly down my way, Baldwin County, no way, no how.
Right.
Madison County, Shelby County, but there's so much variance between the way people would welcome or would want a casino in their district.
Well, you mentioned Talladega earlier. We see the benefits of that tourism coming in out of state. People bet on those. I mean, they may not in Alabama, they don't, but you know, there's bets being cast on who wins the Talladega race. And so we benefit from that. The traffic of that, they're spending money. These people that come in for a week, you know, before the race, they're spending money in our area. Twice a year, tremendous influx of people.
Not what it used to be, though, is it?
It's not. It's not. But I think it may come back. You know, but going back to the casinos, that's how I view it, more as a tourism than I do a seedy bar like place that, you know, you got these gamblers and loan sharks waiting out on the corner to
at least it's regulated, I guess. The argument.
Right.
But even if you do it and you try to do it the right way, I mean, you look at some of these places in Mississippi, who's going to go to Clarksdale, Mississippi for a vacation, right?
Right. But they go there it does bring in
Tunica
tourism
or wherever.
And if you go there, I'm sure you see Alabama tags, Louisiana.
Yeah, but Biloxi for sure, yeah. People,
Tennessee, I see, and that's what I'm trying to say. I see that part of it as more of a revenue stream than I do the lottery.
I think people, and this is me speaking, whatever you think of that, I mean, it has coattails. We can acknowledge that for the economy. But the other part of this to me would be, do you really want the state of Alabama seal approval on this kind of vice? Is this something that not necessarily condone, but just is okay with? Is by approving gambling, any of it, is that necessarily something that you want your government of the people, for the people, by the people to be a part of?
I think, you can take it to the smoking or right. alcohol use on that aspect. It's happening. It's already happening legally in a lot of areas in Alabama. And I think with, prohibition came along, it didn't get rid of alcohol.
No.
But now when we came back, we took a step and we were able to regulate it. And it's, it is what it is today. Huge economic producer for Alabama, everything. But I think that's the same way with gambling. You're going to take away these bad seeds and put it in a regulated scenario, and we'll be able to watch it. There'll be some accountability and way more accountability that's out there now. And that protects people too, but as far as I felt like your question was kind of more leading to morality.
Yeah. Morality wise, does the state need to weigh in on it one way or another?
Well, and I don't believe they do. And I believe that's why it's up to the people for that vote. And that's what I ran on when I ran. Wasn't necessarily, I kind of give out the same reason. I was like, I don't think the lottery is going to help us financially. But if we could get the casinos, that could give us some tourism money. But I always said I would allow the people to vote. And that, was what I'm standing on that. I used to gamble a little bit. I've done it through my life. I don't ever know now. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, if I go on a cruise or something, I might go play blackjack for something, something, but I don't think about gambling. So it really doesn't matter to me if either way, on that aspect, I'm not going to judge anybody for gambling or not. And that's
just give the people the opportunity.
Right.
If they want to take it or leave it. I hate to cut us short here. In part ways, a good company, but we're out of time.
I appreciate you having me.
State Representative Chad Robertson here. We got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.